All right, as we're talking, obviously, a lot about Martin and Incognito, Andrew Abramson of the Palm Beach Post tweeted a quote from Mike Wallace a few minutes ago, and this makes me feel better about this situation. This is what I've wanted to hear from players here and elsewhere. Wallace said, quote, today, I feel bad for both of those guys. It's wrong in that situation to take anyone's side. There you go. That's a nice thing to hear from a guy, Mike Wallace, who obviously doesn't know either one of those guys too well. He's new to this team. He's only been here for, 6 months or whatever, 7 months going back to March and free agency. And that's, one of the things we've continued to say this week is, there's not necessarily a right side. You don't have to jump and be Team Richie or Team Jonathan. That's just not the nature of this situation.
It certainly isn't. And I think maybe as more unfolds and the further we get away from the shock and surprise of the incident, common sense comes into play. And I think that's what you're starting to hear now from Mike Wallace and maybe some of the other players as they think about it. Until you know the facts, as much as you want to support one or the other, you've got to keep an open mind. I've said it before, and I'm going to continue to say it. I'm compassionate for Jonathan Martin. And I understand the jokester and prankster and Rich Incognito, and I gotta believe over the last couple of years, and I know he's had a past, and unfortunately that past is going to continue to be dredged up. So you question his motives, but the time we spent in this room interviewing Richie over the years, and the time I see him on the side, guy gives me high fives, him and Pouncey on the sideline when we're talking. So I understand what it's like to be an offensive lineman. We do push each other's buttons, we do pull pranks on each other. But you got to know when's enough enough. And there may be a misunderstanding that's blown up, but it could very well be the other way. It could be a guy that saw a weakness in a player and went after that. So I'm going to continue to sit back, understand both sides, and show compassion for both players until I know everything. And then when the truth comes out, when the report comes out, and we know everything that went on, because we don't know everything that went on, whether it be the organizationally, the coaches, or the players' issues, whatever it is, then we can make our decision, and then I think we should take a side.
I think, it's this situation is going to be judged in a lot of different ways, and I think the way that it's going to be judged inside the locker room and the way that it's going to be judged outside the locker room, and I think, people's way of judging it outside the locker room is a lot different than what's going on inside the locker room. And then when you're talking to people and they realize, how Incognito is seen inside the locker room, how Martin is seen inside the locker room, it's quite different than how they see him on the outside. You see one as a victim. You see one as a, the person who they say is bullying. But then you go into the locker room and you see a guy who is, who is a captain, a guy who's a leader, a guy who's, who's going to be the first to stand up for you in a fight. But you also see another guy who has potential, and he's very, mild mannered. So there's a lot of different views, and I think those views are skewed in a lot of different ways. But like you said, Keith, I think the best thing to do is to sit back, wait for everything to come out, look at the report, and then you make your judgment based off of that. But right now, with so many different stories coming out, everybody's digging into Richie's past, everybody's digging into Jonathan's past, and they're judging these people based off of these stories. Let it all come out, then you can make your judgment. But right now, like they said, these guys are hurting. You got one guy who's hurting. You got another guy who's hurting. You have a team who's kind of – they're not used to dealing with these type of things right now, and they have a game on Monday. So there's a lot of things that you got to try to bring into focus at one time. But nobody's saying anybody's right or wrong. They're just saying let the truth come out and let the truth be heard.
Absolutely. Part of the thing, of course, is that the truth is going to come out piecemeal. It's not going to all come out at once. Now, when the NFL releases their investigation, when that's all done, a bunch will come out. But in between now and then, and there's no timetable for that, things are going to come out drip, drop. Sometimes it'll be a lot at once. Sometimes it might be a day or two. But right now, we do have another story, and it was just broken a little while ago by Channel 10 here in Miami, WPLG. And it's a story about Richie Incognito and a volunteer at a recent golf tournament. He harassed her, according to this report, which is based on a police report. He poured water on her face, and you can read about it on the local 10.com. you can check out the story right there. But, you know, this is part of the deal, is that, you know, more stuff that has happened in the pasts of these guys, and in particular Richie, because I think he's seen, understandably, as the aggressor in this situation. So you're going to start hearing these things, and it's just going to be that court of public opinion thing going. And is that always fair? Of course not, but it is reality. And these kinds of things are going to impact the way this is handled. And Keith, one of the big picture things I think hardcore football fans need to understand is that football culture is being put on trial here, and yeah. It's not being put on trial inside of a locker room. It is being put on trial, we've been saying this all week, on Good Morning America, yeah. On the Today Show. It's being put on trial by people that don't know anything about the culture of football or the National Football League. And that's going to change the way the story's looked at.
It certainly is. And we talked with Johnny, who was on the show earlier, and you know, we all said, you know, if this happened in the 90s, it would have never been heard of. Because, first of all, you didn't have Twitter, you didn't have Facebook, you didn't have the instant media access where stories get around the world in 20 minutes, and this thing has gone completely global. And if you've never been in that locker room, and I don't just mean on the high school level, because there's a lot of guys who played high school football and still get it. But as you go up the levels, as you go from high school to college, and college, the lucky few that get on to pro, there's a mentality that has been ingrained in us since the first time we stepped on that football field. You know, there's no I in team. We are a team. You got to self-sacrifice. You've got to understand. And hazing has been part of that in all good fun on every level, whether it's the rookie show we had to do in college and the rookie hazing I got as a freshman in college, or the rookie hazing I got as a you know, rookie here in the NFL. It was part of it, and I am not innocent myself. When once you get through that, you know, O.J. McDuffie was on the show with me yesterday. He said, Keith, you know, you were kind of hard on me as a rookie. Now, I don't remember being that hard on him, and I said, was I mean, O.J.? Because I was concerned. He's like, no. He said, but you were just hard on the rookies, and that's just how it was, and that's just life and culture in the NFL. And I think you needed that, and you need that inside an NFL locker room, because it is a hard life. It is a hard thing to get guys to do what we do for a living. And people on the outside will look at how much money we make and, oh, give me that kind of money, I'll do it.
Nah.
Yeah, we had a player this week from the Denver Broncos walk away from football, had $1 million on the table. Because yeah. You know what? He didn't like it anymore. I've always told people, if your heart's not in it, you cannot do this. It doesn't matter how much money they are offering you. That. If your heart is not in it, because there is so much that goes into it physically and mentally and emotionally. There's so much sacrifice that has to be made to play this game. And Troy, we know more than anybody what it takes to be in that locker room.
I'm going to say this, Keith. When a guy retires, there's two things he misses about the NFL. One, he misses the paychecks.
That's true.
The second thing he misses is the locker room atmosphere. And to me, that is a guy's sanctuary. It is your playground. And, you know, this, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's a way where guys were kids again. And, you know, when a guy retires, he misses that locker room atmosphere. He misses that ribbing. He misses the pranks that guys used to play. I mean, so it's a tough place to be. But it's also the best place to be in the world. And if you ask any retired player what he misses about the game, I guarantee you 95% of the guys will say, I miss the locker room. I miss my teammates. I miss the practical jokes and all the things that used to happen around the locker room. It is our sanctuary. Besides that football field, that locker room is a place where you can be yourself. You can be anybody you want to be. And it's a group of friends. And it's a group of friends who are hard on each other, but you're hard on each other because you sacrifice together, you bleed together, you go through everything together, your family, friends, everything. It's still a family. And sometimes you're hard on your family. And sometimes you say things to your family that they don't like and that hurts. But at the end of the day, you're still a family.
It is not a straightforward story by any stretch of the imagination. Now, my caveat to everything you just said, Troy, is that it's not going to be 100% of the guys that feel that way. And Jonathan Martin, it would seem clearly not one of the guys that feels that way. And you have to take that into account with the whole thing. We told you a couple of moments ago, you know, news story kind of emerging about Richie Incognito and some bad behavior, really inappropriate and inexcusable behavior at a recent golf tournament. And we said sometimes it's going to be a little drip of information here about one of these guys. Sometimes it's going to come fast and furious. Almost right on the heels of that, Mike Silver of NFL Network said on Twitter that he just reported on NFL Network that the Incognito camp may release evidence detailing a mutually explosive back-and-forth communication with Martin. And so now maybe something that's going to, you know, show Jonathan Martin saying, you know, disturbing things to Richie Incognito. And I imagine they're going to say the nature of their relationship was that they went back and forth at one another like that. I don't know that that's necessarily going to prove anything, but right now we're in that mode where everybody's just trying to say, hey, yeah, look what he did. And the thing just gets messier by the moment. That's honestly it. It just gets messier by the moment. It's unfortunate for everybody involved. I do feel for both Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito. It's a bad situation, and you got to figure it's not going to get better anytime soon. For the guys that are on the team right now and are active participants on the Miami Dolphins, they've got a game to focus on. They've got a game to get ready for. But for Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito, it's tough stuff right now.